You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is October 20th, 7:43 Central Time. Our guest joining us by phone this morning, Dr. Jack Fiennes, clinical psychologist. Good morning, Dr. Fiennes.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning, sir?
Pretty good. The Cardinals going to win the World Series in a few days.
I hate to break some bad news to you, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, that's right. It's 2015. What's his name? The Back to Future 2 is on, yeah. Although it might even have Back to Future 3. I think the Mets are doing it to the Cubs. I'm not sure. But, so how are you doing?
I'm doing well, enjoying this beautiful fall weather.
Yep, just two more months and the days will start getting longer right after Christmas.
Well, October is quite often known as Pastor Appreciation Month or Clergy Appreciation Month, and so this is a good time, certainly. Year-round, we want to think about how we can care for our pastors and being thankful for our church workers, how we can care for them. And let's talk about that today, how we can take care of our church workers. What are some of the things, some of the challenges or things that might be unique to the lives of church workers?
First of all, I think that we've done a lot of this around the various districts and states of the United States with our pastors and church workers with conferences and that. But first of all, the first step is to recognize they're human too, okay? For people to realize that they're not Captain America or Superman, they can't deal with all sometimes the stresses and strains of what is brought to them, which is obviously people having problems in their life that need to be talked to, seeing people at the death calls, seeing people on their baptism, seeing people in hospitals, and all the various other things that are in the ministry, that they don't have some super force field around them that doesn't keep them from feeling depressed or anxious or nervous, just like you are in your job or you are in your life. And secondly, telling them that, you know, hey, it's all right if you want to get a donut together and, you know, it's, maybe bring them a cup of coffee from your favorite Starbucks or whatever, doing things that sort of help with their lives and maybe just make them know that you're praying for them and thinking about them every day. The problem is we put these people, and I've seen it happen once, if not a thousand times, put these people on these sort of secure, aloof pedestals in a closet somewhere and assume that nothing can affect them. Their wives and they will always get along, their kids will always be perfect, and we never realize the ministry itself is a human life, is a human interactional life, and almost anything in their job, call, and or family could go awry. The other thing we've got to recognize is pray for them also as much as possible, because there isn't one other situation going on. That is, you have an arch enemy, the devil, which is out there, that is gains a lot of ground by taking out one pastor, one pastor's family. The rest of us sort of we have issues and stuff, but we don't represent a church, we don't represent a school, we don't represent a pastoral call. And so therefore, if the devil can ruin a pastor's life or attack a pastor's situation, he can take out 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 people at once, because you incapacitate the head of the group or the leader of the group or the guy of the group. And it can be very convincing for the devil to go after one of these people. So what we got to do is recognize those people as humans, but also recognize their spiritual side, that they've got one more big enemy coming after them. We all have that same enemy, but the difference is he represents a sentinel, single person, the pastor does, and that's where a lot of grief comes in there. And if we don't recognize the force against him, quite frankly, it can make his life even more miserable. I was reading last night Corinthians, both the first and second book, and some part of Hebrews says last night. And if you take a look at Paul himself is talking about the rough life that goes with the ministry, and not that he's wanting any, you know, thanks for it per se, but he went through a lot. And I think our pastors do themselves now, and I think we've so pasteurized our image of them that we don't realize, sort of pasteurized the pastor's life image, that we don't realize that what's going on every day in their lives.
What are some key things that we can do as members of congregations, as members of the body of Christ, to care for our church workers?
Ask yourself this question. And the question is, when was the last time? There's 168 hours in a week, okay, roughly. Ask yourself the question, how many minutes, how many half an hour, how many days in the past did I pray for my pastor? How many times did I say hello to him? And probably it's just at church for many people, but But how many times in 168 hours do I pray for my pastor? How many times do you take a month, which is about 800 hours, how many times that month did I actually stop by to say hello? How many times have I asked if I could help with his kids? How many times can I take he and his wife out to dinner? How many times can I maybe get involved in something he likes, like a Bible study or whatever, and assist him or work with him in the church if he's got something to do, some tasks to do? What is it that I can do, part of my gift to him? Because, you know, there's this idea of time and talents, which also comes up in October. What can I do to help him, help the church out, and make his call not easier, but make it more facile for us and for his ministry? What can I, and if it looks like he's feeling tired or beleaguered or bothered, you know, by something, what can I do to stop by maybe and hold his hand, give him a prayer, visit him in his office, whatever? How do I help him out as he tries to help me out? But ask yourself this question. We all have, every week's got 168 hours, and every month's got about 700 or 800 hours. What have I done? What have I done in my part, in my role as a member of his congregation, to help him in his congregation?
So certainly praying for our pastor, for our church worker, for our pastors, our teachers, DCEs, deaconesses, DCOs, directors of family life ministry, parish nurses, any of those, the church secretary.
That's yeah, you lose the church. I'm doing a Bible class on the Holy Spirit starting November 1st. I tell you, if I don't have that church secretary, I'm doomed. She organizes everything. She's my sort of my... senior sergeant or whatever, make sure everything gets done and prepared and the coffee is ready and everything. So, yep, indeed. Without her, I'm doomed.
Well, certainly prayer is important. Are there other things we can do in our relationship with our pastor, do for them, to support them so that they have, that they know that they have our support, that we appreciate them, that to support them in healthy family life, so that all around their overall health, not just physical health, but mental, emotional, spiritual, that they're cared for in all those ways?
Well, there's an old word that we use a lot called koinonia, which means fellowship. And, you know, we always look at it in terms of like a fellowship of the church, like you helping another person in the church, et cetera, and making sure you speak well of them, build them up. But we forget that the fellowship also extends to the pastor, and that you are in fellowship with that pastor, and that pastor is him and his family are members of the church. When was the last time you sought fellowship with him? I mean, what, you know, there's nothing wrong with calling up a pastor and saying, hey, would you like a donut this morning, or bring a donut over? Or, you know, we all give, not all, but we give gifts to pastors at Thanksgiving or Christmas. What about taking over, you know, gift coupons for some sandwiches, or maybe taking some Subway sandwiches? Do some things that support the staff, support him, support the family. Drop by the family and help him with his kids from time to time. Help them with their kids from time to time. Whatever it is that we can do to be fellowshipped with those people is what really helps out. Maybe just stop by and... say a prayer with them. Maybe just stop by and say hello. But let them know that we're all part of the same network. We're part of the same roof on the building to protect us from the world. And that we, even though we may not have a big part in their lives, we are a part in their lives, and that we are thinking about them. So not only pray for them, but let them know that we're in fellowship with them, and let them know that we also know that they have the same stresses and strains and troubles in their lives that we have. And whatever we can do to help them out, and it would be great. And third, I guess, find out what would be good to help them out, if there's any church things we can do to help them out. Maybe visit the sick for them sometimes. If they're sick themselves, take care of some of their work. Do some things for them or with them in the church or in the school that maybe can be maybe like not volunteer work, but that on our hands. But on the other hand, it may be volunteer work on our hands, but it's a very big relief to them.
What are some perhaps key things to avoid to take care of our church workers?
One thing that pastors, and I've gone all over this in the United States, I've been blessed with going all over the place. One thing they really don't liking is a sour mood. Okay, it's your old, or when you're talking about other people in the church, or talking down another pastor in town, or talking down somebody. Don't talk down about anything. One thing that we as adult humans love to do is talk down, compare, contrast, be negative about anything. And when it comes to church, we're always talking about, well, that pastor, the other pastor, the other church is negative, being some negative comments, or the last pastor was here. Don't bring up negative comments. Speak well of everybody. And if you can't say something positive, don't say it at all. And don't talk down about anybody else in the congregation. Don't talk down about what their work is in the congregation. In other words, build them up as you can, and do not talk negative about anybody else that's associated with their ministry or the ministry itself, because that really takes them down. Because what they're thinking is, first of all, they're listening to you operantly talk about something that's negative, and they don't need any more negative news. They know what the world's like. But secondly, they're probably thinking, well, if that person, if the parishioner doesn't like the person down the street or the person that was here before, how soon is it going to be before they start not liking me, you know? And, you know, it's just keep the negative thoughts away from them. Keep the negative communication completely away from them. And, you know, don't let them know that you support their ministry, support their family, support their teaching ministry as much as you can, and just see what you can do to help them out. But keep all keep your negative comments or your, you know, as they say in the Ten Commandments, the bearing false witness completely away from them, because they need to know that you have trust and confidence in them and that you're praying for them.
So here, the Eighth Commandment certainly is important. Always speak well of them. Put the best construction on everything, not just when speaking about your pastor or other church workers, but when speaking about other members of the body of Christ or anyone. Upholding, observing the Eighth Commandment is certainly important in that relationship. When we break that Eighth Commandment, we also break and hurt those relationships. So great advice. Observing, keeping the Eighth Commandment as best we can support those relationships and help our pastors, our church workers do their jobs, serve as best they can.
And I tell you what, I don't know how many pastors tell me that the one thing they can't stand or bothers the potatoes out of them when they have issues or they start having issues is when they hear a parishioner talking about some other parishioner or talking about some other kind of situation in their life, their own wives or family. And they maybe parishioner's approach is a joke, and parishioner's approach is, oh, well, just a tidbit of thought. But that's like taking bricks out of a wall or putting termites in the wood. It's all of a sudden the pastor leaves that meeting or leaves that conversation or leaves that coffee thinking, what do they think about me, and why are these people not, why are they not part of the harmony? Why are they not building each other's up? You know, it's like the book of Colossians says, we're all members of the same body. Some of us are eyes, some are hips, some of us are toes, some of us are hearts. But what are we doing to build the person up, not destroy the person down? So talk positively and upfrontly about positive stuff with them, but do not talk about negative stuff at all.
Well, all good advice, Dr. Fiennes. Thanks for helping us think through these things, these ways that we can support our church workers, not only in October, but throughout the year.
Throughout the year, you know, all of us end up with certain extra things, sometimes an extra piece of pizza, maybe an extra Cardinal ticket, maybe an extra Cub ticket. If you got one, instead of asking your next door neighbor, call the pastor up and say you want to go to the game today. Get them involved in something positive and go for it.
Very good, very good. Well, anything else? We have just about a minute left, Dr. Fiennes, as we wrap up our time together this morning. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Well, October is also the month of the Great Reformation that's coming up, and we need to remember our blessings, because in 1517, we were directed a new way by God's help to think about the fact that His grace is sufficient for us. And also toward the end of, for the very end of October, 1st November, we have the old German term Totenfest, which we remember those people who have been blessings in our lives and been blessed by God now to go to their heavenly home. So remember our past and our personal past, as well as our future, and thank God for the month of October.
Indeed, indeed, we do. Well, thank you, Dr. Fiennes, for being our guest this morning and for sharing with us some thoughts on caring for our church workers.
Yep, and in 2 months, we'll be back on maybe and talk about the longest day of the year coming up to us.
Very good. Dr. Jack Fiennes, clinical psychologist, thanks for being our guest this morning.
You got it, buddy. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, we have our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we'll study with Pastor Jace Dietrich from Athens Lutheran Church, Athens, Tennessee. We'll take a look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. Hope you can join us for that. And following that, a little sacred music and morning prayer. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.